ABC Radio Australia.
The Rambuka government continues to make sweeping changes to the country's top leadership posts. Fiji's Police Commissioner, Sitiveni Ngilio, and Commissioner of Fiji's Correction Services, Francis Keane, have been suspended pending an investigation by a special tribunal. Both men have strong ties to former Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama and have allegations of bullying, abuse and other things hanging over their careers. In the case of Mr. Keane, he was convicted of manslaughter in 2007 before being appointed to head Fiji's prisons. To discuss the changes, I'm joined now by the head of Fiji's Women's Crisis Centre, Shamima Ali. Good morning to you, Shamima.
Good morning, Priyanka.
Can you tell us, what is the significance, particularly of these two suspensions, to the people of Fiji?
It means a lot to people, particularly people who have been victimized by having two military heads, you know, running the corrections and the police force. So, yeah, so it does. And, you know, while the tribunal will decide eventually what will happen to them, we actually welcome the fact that we have been very concerned about the rapid militarization of our civil service and other institutions. And, it is a relief to know that the people who represent the military, who were heading these institutions, will be investigated for the many, many allegations, some of them that you have already mentioned, been made against them.
Let's look in more detail at some of those allegations. Let's start first with the, I guess, former, now that he's being investigated, Corrections Service Commissioner Francis Keane. He was charged with killing a man at the wedding of former PM Bainimarama's daughter, I believe. He was sentenced to 18 months in jail, but served just a week. Now, you've been an outspoken critic of Mr. Keane, Shamima. Why do you, can you outline more some of your criticisms and what you make of his suspension now, what you hope will come of it?
Well, one welcome change is that it's got a new acting head and it's a woman. So we're hoping more, more humanity within that organization. But our main, of course, we could not speak out about the sentencing, about him getting away early and things like that. But what really affected us and we were very concerned about was the fact that he was allowing convicted rapists who hadn't served their minimum terms to play in national sevens rugby and other rugby in Fiji. And despite our calling out, calling him out, calling the institution out, writing to the FRU, the Fiji Rugby Union, in which he also played a very important role, as did Mr. Bainimarama. It turned on deaf ears and we were never listened to. And these guys, particularly one, the Singotoka player, Nasila Sila, because we were so involved in that case and bringing him to justice and so on, that, that's the one that we noticed and we found out there were many more. So despite all of that, no one listened. And where we are. And of course, we work with rape survivors and so on, and domestic violence survivors. And we also were concerned about what was going on with the convicted rapists inside. We had a good program prior to this regime coming into force. We were involved with, re-educating the minds of convicted sex offenders and so on. And we're getting some kind of traction at one particular prison. And then we were all stopped from going inside and so on. We also had complaints from prisoners, inmates, relatives and so on about the treatment that was meted out there, ranging from beatings to rape and so on. With impunity, these things were carried out, allegedly carried out, as far as we know. And so, organizations, of course, our Human Rights Commission was a toothless tiger all these years. And then we also had other entities, human rights entities, international human rights entities, that could not gain access into the prison service to review the conditions of prisoners and so on. And for many, many years, people complained, behind closed doors, but no one, because of the atmosphere of fear within, the within our country the last 16 years, people would not voice their concerns openly.
And now that Mr. Keane is out of that commissioner position, for the moment at least, he's been suspended, do you hope some further investigations into those correctional services, into the prisons, will happen?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I believe it should happen. It should be how, you know, what is permitted, what is allowed by human rights entities and so on, particularly the commission, which needs a redoing itself and a remake. So definitely that. And we're hoping that that career officers will be appointed to positions of authority within the institution.
Mm. Now let's shift our focus to the other suspension of the police commissioner, Sitiveni Angilio. Do you have similar concerns, Shamima, about his career?
Yes, look, we have worked with the police for over three decades, the Fijian Crisis Center, because they are one of our main stakeholders in responding to violence against women, girls and children. So we have had that relationship with the police for years. And we used to be very involved in looking at the curriculum on gender violence against women and girls and human rights with them over the years, you know, training of recruits at recruit level, then at officer qualifying level and so on. You know, there is always a love-hate relationship between police and people like us, but we did have a very good working relationship. And it did continue with Mr. Ngiliho, and I used to meet with him regularly. But you see, It didn't start with him. It started with the first change, and that was, again, a naval commander, Teleni. He became the commissioner of police. Then we had the Jesus strategy, that was going to, you know, you take Jesus into your heart and all the crimes will stop kind of, you know, thing. And then we had after him Mr. Naval Urua, another military officer, commander, who came in. So gradually the police force began to be militarized. And what we found was we could not go in and do training. So if a UN entity intervened and asked us to go in and, you know, train, then we would go in. But we were stopped from going into the academy. Only with UN entities we could go in if they invited us in, but otherwise not. So, you know, it has been gradually militarized. And what we saw was, and police officers, you know, these officers do talk to us. Those who are traumatized, there was a whole atmosphere of fear, in both these institutions from the officers. They're very guarded about what they said, and we could not discuss things openly. And it was more, I always call it more brawn than brains training. That is what happened. It was more concentrating on physical than actual policing. So we've had lots of issues around police, how police respond to the crimes of violence against women and so on. And though we, for the last 5 months or so, my regular meetings with the commissioner have stopped. And, you know, the meetings were pretty cordial and he seemed quite committed and so on, but nothing happened afterwards. Mm-hmm. And we've also seen, you know, senior positions being taken over by military officers and good career police officers that we've worked on for years with the 55-year retirement age also. We lost a lot of good officers.
If you are just tuning in to Pacific Beat on your Monday morning, we're speaking with Shamima Ali, the head of Fiji's Women's Crisis Centre. And we're particularly talking about those very high-profile suspensions made recently by the new Rambuka government, in particular the suspension of Fiji's Police Commissioner Sitiveni Ngilio and the Commissioner of Fiji's Corrections Service, Francis Keane. Now, we understand, Shamima, that this is all pending an investigation by a special tribunal. Do you believe that they might return to their positions?
Well, it all depends. You know, the present government, the new government, is very keen on ensuring justice is for all. And, I heard you said you said the sweeping changes. Mm. I think these are necessary changes that need to be made, they need to be made. But they are going, you know, like they're following the legal processes. So, you know, who knows, they might come back in. I hope not. I hope that career officers are, you know, taking that place, because let's not also forget the arbitrary arrests within the police force. People taken in, you know, for things that could be settled out of court and things like that, and the manner in which people were, taken in, you know, and so on. It does not happen in a democracy. So for me, I would much rather the military stays in its lane, and I'd much rather see career officers, taking over these two institutions.
And speaking of that, as you mentioned, Shamima, it has been a woman, and I understand a career,
yes.
Someone who's been in the department for a long time, who's been appointed as the new acting commissioner of Fiji's Corrections Service. Her name is Ms. Mm-hmm. Salote Panapasa. How significant mm-hmm. is that appointment to you?
It is very, very significant, and it's really, really good. And it's a very deserving appointment. And, I really congratulate this government for doing that. We've got a woman who has been there for a very long time, and I don't believe that would have happened otherwise with anyone else. And we also have in the elections office a woman who's taken over the acting position for the supervisor of elections. So, good things, and we'll encourage the government to continue in this way. And, I always say that women bring in a humanity, most women do, into places like this. And hopefully, we can support her to be able to do her job better. And, it's an acting position. And, who knows, she might retain that position.
Yes, we need to see. Now, I know you sort of took me or made a point about the term I used earlier, sweeping changes by the Rambuka government there, Shamima. But they have made a lot of changes. We're just mentioning a few of the leadership changes, but there have been others.
And this
is only just, a bit over a month since they've come into power. What do you make of accusations that they're moving too fast and particularly going after their political opponents?
They're not opponents. They were people, a lot of these people, from what we can see, were appointed because they were, allies of the last regime and so on. And those appointments, we don't believe from what we saw and how people were appointed overnight, that they were very fair. I think it's to right the wrongs that have been done. But it's not about taking revenge or anything. It's about removing people who are ineffectual, who are doing harm to an institution. That's how I see it. And I think some of these things need to be done. For example, they're working on the Media Act. I was about to say decree because that's how we have been ruled over the last 16 years, mm-hmm. the Media Act and so on. So those things need to be done, I believe. I believe also that the present government needs to, it has made a promise. The Prime Minister Rambuka has made the promise that everything will be done and will follow due process. All the legal pathways will be followed, and as long as they keep on that, I believe we are on a good thing. And if they don't, the public is there to hold them accountable also, because we do not want the mistakes of the last 16 years repeated.